Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, May 24th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. We pick up in Leviticus chapter 16 today, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 19. The title in my Bible says, The Day of Atonement. Now, in modern times, this is known as Yom Kippur, and I looked it up. This year it will be on October 4th and 5th. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, Tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place, behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, to be used for making atonement by sending it to the wilderness as a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household, and he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the tablet of the covenant law so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain, and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover in front of it. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put them on the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times to cleanse it and to consecrate it from the uncleanness of the Israelites. Today and tomorrow we will read about the events that happen on the Day of Atonement, but this is the most holy day in the religious calendar for the Hebrew people when the Bible was written and also for today. I remember when I was in seminary, I worked for a family that was Jewish at a little dress shop, and each year around Yom Kippur, they would take off and close the shop. According to my David Jeremiah study Bible, it says that this chapter may be the most significant in the book of Leviticus because it points to Jesus Christ. The Day of Atonement is an annual event in which atonement was made for all the sins of the children of Israel. And while they fasted as a nation, the people were to consider their lives and confess sins, attitudes, and behavior patterns. Now, it is so interesting when we see this celebration of atonement in light of our Savior and Lord. Let's move over to Hebrews. I want to read for you Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. It says this, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, as we read about today, but with his own blood, he, being Jesus, entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." So, in other words, Jesus, our Lord, was the sacrifice. He entered into the most holy place by the means of his own blood. And because he has entered, we too can enter into the presence of God. We can have a cleansed conscience. We can be free from our sins, and we can be redeemed. That is reason to rejoice. And so as we move to the Psalms, we will praise the Lord again today with Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants, of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. As we move to the New Testament, today we are reading 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 25. The title in my Bible says, Intelligibility in Worship. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or the harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if a trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say, Amen, to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, With other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all. As the secrets of their heart are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together here in 1 Corinthians. I want to point out 3 different things. In verse 25, what Paul is presenting to the people of Corinth is an ideal that the people who come into their fellowship might say, God is really among you. What a prayer that is for us in our homes and in our churches, that the people who enter them would say, God is with you. And then I wanted to talk about verse 20, in regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. When it comes to things that are evil, that we wouldn't even know much about that the Lord would protect our hearts and help us to think in the ways of our Savior. And then finally, I wanted to mention that perhaps a good prayer for us when it's related to the youth and the children in our church is that they would grow to be prophets among us. And you might ask, well, why do you say that, Mary? I say it because of what is in verse 3 and 4. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. We want to raise up people who edify the church as they strengthen it, as they encourage those around them, and as they comfort those with the message of forgiveness through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to read your word. Thank you for the beautiful reminder of Yom Kippur that you made a way for the sins of the people to be forgiven as they sacrificed rams and lambs. But Lord, we do recognize the greater gift of Jesus in that we don't have to sacrifice year after year, but your sacrifice of yourself, Lord, was once and for all. And for that, we give you great praise. But we do not want to presume upon your kindness, Lord. And so help us to look into our hearts and to examine our attitudes and our actions so that we might live in a way that honors you. We praise you, Lord. We pray that as we see the world around us today, as it said in the psalm, the sea creatures or the trees, the different things in nature that you have created, may they sing your praise to us today. May they remind us of your grandeur, your majesty, and the fact that you are working in nature. And then, as we read in 1 Corinthians today, help us, Lord, to be a people who strengthen one another, who comfort one another, and who work for the edification of the church, so that when people encounter us and Mountain Brook Baptist, might they say, Lord, God is among them. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.